Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go, getting underway with the fourth and final hour of the Monday, Can't Trust That Day edition of the Bobby Mack Show with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loud mouth of the South. Great to have you along and to join in the conversation. Just pick up the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063, or if you prefer to send me a text message, we have the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line available for you at 71307. And as we enter the bonus hour, it is time for today's AOC update.
And now, another Alexandria Occasional Cortex breaking news update.
Yeah. Boy, you know, I certainly hope that the media remains in their love fest with AOC, and they keep her front and center between now and November of 2020 to show the stark contrast between what the progressive socialist slash Marxist on the left are selling and what President Trump stands for. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat Socialist New York, pushed back against those offering wishes of support for New Zealand as it reeled from a terror attack on Friday. A terrorist purporting to act against white genocide opened fire on two Christchurch, New Zealand mosques on Friday, shortly after New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern held a press conference where he told reporters, "My thoughts, and I'm sure the thoughts of all New Zealanders, are with all those who have been affected." Ocasio-Cortez shared a quip of the Prime Minister and ripped into those who offer thoughts and prayers to the deceased and their loved ones. Yeah, shouldn't do that. Shouldn't offer your thoughts and prayers. To quote this 29-year-old former bartender, "What good are your thoughts and prayers when they don't even keep the pews safe?" AOC asked. See, immediately turning it to the gun control issue. Minutes later, AOC shared a second tweet saying she had meant only to criticize thoughts and prayers because it was the NRA's phrase. Like the NRA was the only one that suggested offering thoughts and prayers for the victims and their families. She claimed those offering the phrase sought to deflect conversation away from policy change. The NRA is an American organization in New Zealand. They have strict gun laws. Dana Lesh, national spokeswoman for the NRA, responding to Ocasio-Cortez, "Pretty sure thoughts and prayers isn't anyone's phrase." She noted AOC mocking the perceived power of prayer was a particularly inappropriate response in the wake of a shooting in a house of worship. Prayer, especially which you mocked earlier after what happened in the house of prayer, is a real action, a petition to, a conversation with God. The shooter intended for his attack to divide Americans and create political discord. "I chose firearms for the effect it would have on social discourse, the extra media coverage that would be provided, and the effect it could have on the politics of the United States and thereby the political situation of the world," he wrote in a rambling and sardonic manifesto. AOC claimed she had not intended to criticize New Zealand's prime minister for having offered her thoughts to the victims. Queen Elizabeth of England responded in the same way, saying her thoughts and prayers are with all New Zealanders. Pakistan's prime minister, prayers go to the victims and their families. Senior Palestinian officials, prayers and tears. The United Arab Emirates Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, thoughts and prayers are with the families of the victims. It is unclear whether AOC thinks these state leaders mean to deflect conversation away from their nation's strict gun laws. Oh, and as I mentioned, what kind of guns do police in Christchurch, New Zealand carry? None. Anybody see any unintended consequences of that decision? Meantime, Representative Ilhan Omar, you remember her, the Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota, firing back at President Trump on Sunday for retweeting an article suggesting that Minnesota Democrats are trying to remove her from Congress. Omar tweeting, "I am sorry, Mr. At Real Donald Trump. I am for real. You can't hashtag Muslim ban us from Congress," Omar tweeted, apparently referencing the Outkast song, Ms. Jackson. And totally overlooking the fact that the president was not talking about banning Muslims. Democrats within the, the Farmers Democratic Party in Minnesota? People within her own party who have already, after just 2.5 months, had enough of her actions in Congress, already talking about primarying her next time around. In on the text line, hey, Bob, yeah, that big burning ball in the sky felt good today. But when I was in Burnsville, North Carolina earlier, the wind was a booger. I think that means it was bad. Did I money penny? Yeah. Bobby, you're loving me some toxic men. Gotcha. Oh, boy. Somebody just ran into the exit ramp wall. 385 southbound Woodruff Road exit is blocked. There's a nightmare for you. Bobby, the glass is always full. As the liquid leaves, air fills the glass, unless you're in space or in a vacuum. Little science joke for you there.
Don't!
Thank you. Appreciate that. Bob, from what I hear, Muslim has a firearm and shot back, or it would have been worse. So they have a bit of a conundrum. That's what I understand as well. At the second mosque this guy went to, somebody there had a gun and started shooting at this wacko and chased him off. A little difficult for the police in Christchurch to do since they were unarmed. Anybody say Paris? Yeah. Now, of course, CNN, the Collusion News Network, immediately going to the gun control issue, as well as, even more importantly, using the incident in Christchurch to attack President Trump, because we know he's a racist, right, for wanting to have real borders in his country. And they go to the extent of, again, with these media types, they'll use something to try and convey their point or to reinforce their agenda and exclude anything else that might work against whatever agenda they're trying to push. And you know what their agenda is. And there's proof of this in this New Zealand stuff. I'll share that with you when we come right back here on the Bobby Mac Show. 6:15 here on Monday. Oh, yeah. Good times. Unless you're a millennial.
All right, Dan.
Then it's the most stressful time in history. 621 here on the Bobby Mac Show. So there was a piece today at the whatfinger.com website that was, I'm not sure where this where they reprinted it from, but it was interesting because it points out how the media will tell you only the part of, they'll tell you something factual, but it's only factual to a limited extent. Because if they told you the entirety of what was said, then it would work against their promoting their agenda. The piece says, it was as predictable as the sunrise. As soon as the mass murderer in the New Zealand mosque massacres was identified as a white supremacist, the talking snake media and regressive politicians immediately started blaming Donald Trump. Richard Blumenthal on CNN. But words do have consequences, and we know that at the very pinnacle of power in our own country, people are talking about good people on both sides. That's, again, a reference misquoting the intent of what President Trump said about Charlottesville. Allison Camerata chiming in. You mean the president talking about it? Anchor Bill Berman soon chimed in, badgering his guest Adam Kinzinger repeatedly to blame Trump's rhetoric for the violence committed by somebody on the other side of the world. Here are the questions verbatim with which Berman beat Kinzinger about the head and shoulders. The person giving a sign of allegiance to President Trump is the killer here. He called him a symbol of white identity. The language he uses in this manifesto is all about invaders. It's all about invaders, which is similar to the killer at the synagogue in Pittsburgh and language President Trump used in a campaign ad before the midterm election. If this monster is hearing something in the word invader and the president is using the word, can the president really not do anything? I'm just showing you what these people are saying. We're not showing the manifesto, but the title of it is The Great Replacement. Well, where did we hear replacement? I heard it in Charlottesville when those white supremacists were chanting, Jews will not replace us, people that the president called very fine people. Camerata, at one point in her interview, said, we don't even need to read between the lines. The shooter connected the dots for us in his manifesto. The talking snake media loves to selectively quote sources to make the object of their hatred. In this case, President Trump, look as bad as humanly possible. His 77-page manifesto was written in a question-and-answer style. Here's the part of the manifesto they want you to know about. Are you a supporter of Donald Trump? Answer, as a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, sure. Sounds like a diehard forever Trumper, right? The part of the manifest the media refuses to mention and hopes you never find out about, too late, is this. Are you a supporter of Donald Trump? As a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose? Sure. As a policymaker and leader? Dear God, no. So we can safely dispatch the theory that Trump is to blame for instigating the shooter. Besides which, what happened to blaming the guy who pulled the trigger? He's the one who made the plan, evidently with some accomplices, and spent the time it took to write the manifesto. So do we need really to look any further for the culprit? What should happen now, but will not, is that he should receive a speedy and fair trial for the murder of all these legally innocent people. The same number of victims as the Muslim madman left dead at the Pulse nightclub in Florida, and the wounding of many more. And then he should be publicly executed with his execution live streamed to the world. I'm quite sure New Zealand is far too squeamish for that, but if you want to de-incentivize other would-be shooters, that's a way to do it. Otherwise, get prepared for more. The 28-year-old shooter, a native of Australia, drove to the first mosque while live streaming himself saying, let's get this party started. parked his car, rummaged around in the trunk until he emerged with a semi-automatic weapon. He entered the mosque and fired randomly, even shooting people who had fallen to the floor a second time. And then it goes on to talk more in detail. Now, again, there's how the media can selectively quote to try and promote their agenda and leave out the parts they don't want you to hear about. Meantime, the New Zealand leader's promise of tightened gun laws in the wake of the Christchurch mosque shootings, widely welcomed by a stunned population. Of course, the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, said her cabinet will consider the details of the changes on Monday, saying options include a ban on private ownership of semi-automatic rifles that were used in this shooting. There will be no opposition to it, she said. There's no movement in New Zealand for that. Our media and politics are more left-wing, said Roberts, a carpenter who uses guns for hunting. Elliot Dawson, who survived the shooting at the Lynwood Mosque by hiding in a bathroom, hopes New Zealand follows Australia's lead on gun control, where, by the way, if you look at the crime statistics, way up. In Australia, a virtual ban on private ownership of semi-automatic rifles and a government-funded gun buyback cut the size of the country's civilian arsenal by almost a third. Personally, I don't think guns should be illegal at all, maybe in some extreme self-defense, but I don't think they need such firearms as this, Dawson said. New Zealand is not America. America is a totally different situation. I think in America, it would probably be more dangerous to take people's guns away. But here, I don't think we need them at all. And again, here's, you know, they love to use this selective language. Ashkesh Sharma moved to Christchurch from Fiji to study. He was shocked that the shooter was able to get his hands on such military-style weapons. See? Here we go again. Military style, perhaps in shape, in the way an AR looks, but it is not a military style weapon. Military weapons are fully automatic. AR-15s and 14s are semi-automatic. Sharma agrees with the Prime Minister that gun laws need to be tightened. I don't see this as a place where you need guns to live to feel safe. Oh, really? Not keeping up much with the current events, Sharma. There are at least 50 people that I think would disagree with your assessment that you don't need guns to be safe. Coming up on 6:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show, Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side with the last half of the bonus hour, including today's edition of Boneheads in the News.
Work, 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 work.
I know. It's never ending. Bob and the Bobettes slogging away here for 4 hours each day, Monday through Friday, over a hot microphone and computer terminal. Oh, this is interesting. Over the weekend, I happened to catch Mark Levin's Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox News, which, by the way, is the highest-rated weekend show on Fox. And he had on the libel and slander attorney, L. Lynn Wood. He's the attorney for the Covington, Kentucky high school kids, specifically for the young Mr. Sandman. And it was a brilliant interview. And Lynn Wood, I think, this case is going to be heard in Kentucky. And he's suing Washington Post and others for $250 million. CNN has also been added to the list for $250 million. Now, today, California GOP Congressman Devin Nunes filed a major lawsuit also seeking $250 million in compensatory damages and $350,000 in punitive damages against Twitter and a handful of its users, accusing the social media site of shadow banning conservatives, including himself, to influence the 2018 elections, systematically censoring opposing viewpoints, and totally ignoring lawful complaints of repeated abusive behavior. In a complaint filed in Virginia State Court today, obtained by Fox News, Nunes said Twitter was guilty of knowingly hosting and monetizing content that is clearly abusive, hateful, and defamatory, providing both a voice and financial incentive to the defamers, thereby facilitating defamation on its platform. Although federal law ordinarily exempts services like Twitter from defamation liability, Nunes said the platform has taken such an active role in curating and banning content that it should face liability like any other organization that defames. Twitter created and developed the content at issue in this case by transforming false accusations of criminal conduct, imputed wrongdoing, dishonesty, and lack of integrity into a publicly available commodity used by unscrupulous political operatives and their donor clients as a weapon. In large part because of Twitter's actions, Nunes endured an orchestrated defamation campaign of stunning breadth and scope, one that no human being should ever have to bear and suffer in their whole life. The complaint also named specific Twitter accounts that spread allegedly defamatory material about Nunes. One, identified as Liz Mayer, purportedly published tweets that implied that Nunes colluded with prostitutes and cocaine addicts, that Nunes does cocaine, and that Nunes was involved in a Russian money laundering front. They specifically quoted a June 22nd 2018 tweet that implied Nunes invested in a winery that allegedly used underage hookers to solicit investment. No response from Twitter. The complaint also names Devin Nunes's mom, a person who, with Twitter's consent, hijacked Nunes's name, falsely impersonated his mother, and created and maintained an account on Twitter for the sole purpose of attacking, defaming, disparaging, and demeaning him. In the endless barrage of tweets, the person using the Twitter handle Devin Nunes's mom maliciously attacked every aspect of Nunes's character, honesty, integrity, ethics, and fitness to perform his duties as a United States congressman. Good. Somebody does need to hold these people to account when they do that kind of stuff. Okay, here we go. Time for the Monday edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes. And for our first Boneheads in the News story today, we actually need a different piece of theme music, Miss Moneypenny. So here we go. Yeah, you recognize that, of course. Peanuts theme. The reason we're using this? The Vice Squad in Cleveland served a warrant on Friday and arrested Charlie Brown. Poor guy. They found drugs, three guns, and Charlie Brown's 3.5-foot-long pet alligator. Here is the audio from that.
Police make a startling discovery during a drug raid. An alligator. Vice officers were serving a search warrant in the area of East 161st and Waterloo when they found this 3.5-foot gator in the home. Police arrested Charlie Brown on drug and weapons charges. The gator was taken to the city kennel.
Yeah. Watch out for the gator, baby.
Oh, good grief. Good grief.
Good grief.
Yeah. Good grief indeed. Well, it was St. Patty's Day over the weekend, of course. It was St. Patty's weekend. An Irish guy named Elvis Aaron Presley, spelled differently in that his middle name had two A's. Elvis Aaron Presley was in court last week in jolly old England for beating a guy up back in January and threatening him with a knife. He told the judge he was guilty, but, quote, "I didn't beat him, I punched him," which reminded us of the real Elvis Aaron Presley in his bar fight in King Creole.
"You're a pretty fancy performer, ain't you, kid?
Now you know what I do for an encore."
That, by the way, just happened to be one of Elvis's favorite movies. So there you go. There's our abbreviated edition today here on Monday. It was even with St. Patty's Day, relatively slow weekend. There you go. There's Monday's
Boneheads in the News.
Coming up on a quarter before seven here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back with the closing minutes of the bonus hour for the first workday of the week. Boom, 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 boom.
All right, Dan.
Welcome back. The closing minutes, the Bobby Mac Show here on the Monday edition. By the way, we are talking about little Lindsey and his red flag gun law proposal. Vice President Mike Pence, who I think is a good guy, travels here to South Carolina later this month to join Senator Lindsey Graham-Nestey as he launches his reelection bid. Graham's campaign announcing the VP will attend events at Myrtle Beach and Greenville on March 30th. The vice president has been a strong ally and close friend in the efforts to confirm conservative judges like Brett Kavanaugh, strengthen our southern border, cut taxes, and rebuild our military, Graham said in a statement. Graham, who decried Trump as a candidate in 2016, has emerged as one of the president's closest allies on Capitol Hill. I guess maybe President Trump let Lindsey win when they played golf together. His alliance with Trump and his fierce defense last September of Kavanaugh as the judge faced sexual misconduct allegations are likely to be key points of attack for a potential Democrat challenger. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have one. The Post and Courier reported that Associate Democrat National Committee Chairman Jamie Harrison is considering a bid to challenge the three-term senator. Pence crisscrossed the country last year during the midterm campaign to boost GOP candidates. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So let's see if Lindsey gets an earful on his red flag gun laws when he comes back around. Bobby, my father served 30 years in the Army, did two tours in Vietnam, where he earned a Silver Star and two Bronze Stars, plus a Purple Heart. I want my civil rights protected. Nobody has a right to violate my rights. Gotcha. I would say your dad was a hero. Bob, with all New Zealand's gun laws, how did this guy even get a gun? He had two. Had a shotgun and had an AR. Bobby, this media technique for leaving out essential facts could perhaps be called a semi-spike from Colonel Ted. Yeah, that's what it amounts to. You know, it used to be. Well, like with the story we talked about earlier today about Beto O'Dork. This guy at Reuters had this story that O'Dork was part of this hackers group when he was a teenager. And wrote some fictional stuff on there. No, excuse me, had to sneeze. Wrote some fictional stuff on this website about fantasizing about running over small children in his car. And the reporter for Reuters conveniently, as they say, put the story on the spike. That is, did not print the story because he was afraid it would damage O'Dork's chances in his Senate race against Ted Cruz. But there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's straightforward reporting. Right. Bobby, this oxygen thief terrorist is evil. The purpose of his manifesto is to cause chaos and further divide right and left. He's a psychopath. I would agree. Bobby, they're using these headlines to shrink the planet to promote the globalist agenda. Bobby, when does this thing about the flag law start with Lindsay, and is there anything we can do? Yeah, absolutely. You can call anybody in the United States Senate that you want to and tell them don't support this red flag law. It's nothing but a shadow ban on gun ownership. Bobby, during work this morning, I got a notification from at Real Donald Trump that, yeah, they'd already started blaming him for the attacks in New Zealand. Bobby, from what they were saying yesterday, the good guy with a gun in New Zealand actually had picked up one of the attackers' discarded empty shotguns. He managed to throw it through the attacker's car's windshield when he discovered it was empty. Yeah, Bob, in Christchurch, New Zealand, the unarmed police can be heard yelling at a criminal, "Stop! Or I'll tell you, stop again." Yeah. Bobby, what's your take on Judge Jeanine being let go by Fox News because she was telling the truth about Congresswoman Omar? Unbelievable. What's this world coming to? I don't believe Judge Jeanine Pirro has been let go. I think she suffered a covert suspension that Fox didn't talk about. She just wasn't there. The other story that's circulating, and you can chalk this one up to the source, NBC News reporting that some clients are now pulling their advertising from Judge Jeanine's show as well as from Tucker Carlson's show. Bobby, from what I hear, one Muslim has a firearm and shot back, or it would have been worse. So they do have a bit of a conundrum there. Yeah, apparently did not shoot back. Oh, one other thing before we go today. This Christopher Steele, boy, this guy is a real James Bond. You remember his name, of course, Christopher Steele. He was the former British spy who created the anti-Trump Russian dossier, used unverified information he found on a CNN website where users generated their own content. And he admitted this in a court hearing last year. Fox News reporting over the weekend that Steele, testifying in a defamation lawsuit, said that he obtained information about one of this Russian entrepreneur's companies on something called CNN Report. And that is now apparently out of service. That invited members of the public to submit their own content as a form of citizen journalism. So that's what they used to go to the FISA court, stuff that some wacko lefty submitted to CNN. Great. See you tomorrow. Have a great evening. God bless.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye, goodbye.
You say goodbye. What? And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye
to you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.